Welcome to Tony's Take Podcast.
Welcome to the Tony's Take Podcast, episode 370 of Sports. I'm Tony, and with me we've got Off-Road Andy.
Hello.
For the second week in a row, we will not have Sean on sports, but he was on our entertainment episode, so please go over and take a listen to that. We've got a good sports episode for you, not as jam-packed as last week, but still good nonetheless. We're going to keep you updated again with our NBA over-under picks, along with some other NBA news. We'll give you guys a little update on how the first weekend of the MLB season has gone so far. And we're going to update you guys with some NHL standings because there's only about 7-8 games left, and it is definitely tight for seeding and for teams to steal that eighth spot. So give you guys a good update on that, and then we're going to end with college basketball. We'll briefly talk about the women's tournament, but we'll get into the big thing is now we are down to four teams in the men's tournament, and there is still a surprise left. But before we get into that, we will start you off in the pros, giving you an update here on our over-unders for the season here between Sean, Andy, and I.
Yeah, so Tony, you're now 15-5.
So I believe I was what last week, 10-2?
I don't remember exactly, but yeah, it's a good start. So we got 10 teams left.
All right.
A couple teams that just need a one win or loss, so we're getting closer and closer to the end. Sean's also 14-6, pretty good record.
Damn, there's one behind me.
I'm 8-12, which is an improvement.
I was going to say, yeah, that was a big improvement. I feel like you were
like 2-10
really bad last week.
Something, yeah. But yeah, we'll see next week again.
So there's about 10 teams left or so?
12 teams? 10 teams left that haven't clinched yet.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I don't think too much has changed in the standings here. I think we got the same top six in the East and the same playing teams in the same order. So I think the question is, can Miami get out of that play-in? Can the Sixers, they're 2.5 behind the Pacers. They just got Embiid back. They might not win tonight, though, but it's, you know, there's
it's close.
Seven, eight games left, so possible, unlikely.
No, it's going to, that Embiid being out is going to be enough to hurt them. I think they're going to get a play-in game, but it's definitely going to be close between Indiana, Orlando, and Miami to for who's going to fall to that seven spot. I think Knicks will be able to hold on being three games up on Miami right now currently, but it's tight. I mean, the seven seed, which is a play-in game, and the four seed, which is a first-round home court game, are separated by three games. So going to be a good little last seven, eight-game stretch here.
And then in the West, we got the top three teams just keep flip-flopping. It's really hard to know. The Nuggets are the best team, I think, still. But they've just messed around the most. They're a half game behind. They have one more loss than Oklahoma City, so that's a big deal here, is looking at the losses when you're looking at these good teams. So Oklahoma City can't be caught if they went out. But and that matters, I think, who you end up playing. The thing is, you want to avoid Denver. You don't want to get that. You don't want to play Denver in the second round.
So I actually heard something that I actually kind of agreed with, and it was from Nick Wright, who I actually don't really like this guy that much, but he had a take that I agreed with, and he talked about for the Lakers. He said about how he thought the Lakers had a lot of upside right now. Everybody's healthy. They're playing well, and he said if you're going to play Denver, your best bet is to play Denver in the first round because it's early on, and there's not you have more breaks in the first round, like 2-3 days off sometimes. And then he said in the second round, he's like, you know, if you go play Denver and they swept somebody and then you're going and playing them after like a 6-7 game series, you're more tired. And then in the third round, I guess they said that the games are just every other day because at that point they're speeding things up. And I actually listened to it. And I'm like, you know what? Honestly, if you are going to, like, he's basically saying, obviously, perfect situation. You never have to face Denver and you can, you know, move on. Somebody else takes care of them. But Denver's just so good that it's hard for somebody to do that. You know, I even saw Patrick Beverley came on the podcast something the other day and said how he, and you know, he's playing for a team right now. Who team is he on now? Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, yeah.
And he even said they had just played Shai Gilgeous and they were teammates, I guess, in LA, right? I believe.
Yes,
and he said like that, you know, he always said he was good and he would even, you know, kind of help coach him and say like, because he's, Patrick Beverley's always been a great defender.
Also a great braggart. I'm sure he's like, I taught him everything he knows.
No, he was just saying he was like, as a young guy, he was being a veteran for him and saying, hey, you know, you're good, but like, God, the best can be double teamed. Like, what are you going to do with this? And he's like, oh, no, I've got moves for that already. Like, you know, practice and just, you know, helping him out. And he said, I agree with him. He said he doesn't think Oklahoma will win it this year because they're too young. And they do remind me of like the Orioles last year where it's like, this is a very good team, but I don't think they'll win it this year because of inexperience and stuff in playoffs, you know, all the cameras there, all the stuff, TV stuff, but they're going to be continue to be a problem for the future. But and then he basically just said in a nutshell, he's like, the main reason is just Denver's too good. And I mean, you know, he knows it. I mean, he's over there in Milwaukee thinking, you know, probably being cocky, thinking like they're going to coast to the, you know, not coast to the finals, but that they've got a good shot. But it's like, same issue in the East. Boston's too good. So it'll be a good playoffs. I'm actually looking forward for this NBA playoffs this year. I think there's a lot of good depth in the, especially in the West this year.
Yeah. And then, yeah, at the four, the Clippers are fourth. If they have a nice run to the end of the season, they should stay in that spot. But the big change there is Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Dallas is hot.
Yeah, and the way it's looking is another Clippers versus Dallas round one matchup, which, you know, as good as Luka might have played in those two matchups, it feels like people forget the Clippers did win both of them. I don't know why it's like, oh, the Clippers don't want to play them. They're like, no, I think Dallas.
I think Dallas is a good matchup for the Clippers. I think they can cover Luka well with George or Leonard, and I think they have more depth than Dallas. I think that would be an ideal matchup, first round matchup for the Clippers if they got to have home court against Dallas. And one thing I do want to note is because people see these standings, but the stuff you really got to look at is the NBA odds. Like, what is Vegas thinking? I actually saw something that even though Minnesota is the 3 seed with 51 wins, only one game behind being the 1 seed, they are 30-1 to win the NBA finals. So it's kind of funny to think like they basically have, you know, according to Vegas's odds, like no real shot. But it's just funny to think that like this team might be a 1 seed. Probably not, but it's possible. And so it's kind of funny, but
yeah, and New Orleans at 6, which like I think at this point last week we were saying they're going to get the 4 seed, but they've struggled. Ingram was hurt. The Suns look kind of weak right now. They're 7th there.
Well, I think the Kings, Suns. Everybody thought the Suns would be in top 3.
Yeah, the Kings are falling. They lost Kevin Herter and now Malik Monk for the season. So that's like the same position.
They lost Malik Monk for the season.
Yeah,
that I didn't know. That's a huge blow for the Kings.
He was going to win 6th man of the year.
He still might
do it. And that leaves the Lakers, who have been playing great since the All-Star break, a game and a half away from getting out of that 9-10 matchup. So, I mean, you definitely don't want to be in that 9-10 because you got to win 2 games. If you're the Lakers and you get up to 8, you just got to win 1 game. If you get up to 7, you just win 1 game.
Well, yeah, the good thing about it, if you're 8, you get 2 chances to win 1 game.
Right.
And 1 would be home. So, yeah, no, it's a huge difference between 7, 8, and 9, 10.
Right now, as good as the Lakers have played in the All-Star break, there's a chance they just lose that first game to the Warriors, who played, who are good enough to beat them, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that game would most likely be in L.A., thankfully. But no, I agree. It doesn't, you know. Yeah. I'd rather, what I think will happen is I think Lakers can sneak to that 8 spot. And I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I almost wonder if Phoenix can catch New Orleans, only being a game behind. But I just feel like Lakers will get the 8 spot and if they do play Phoenix, I feel like they'll lose that game. But if they play New Orleans, I feel like they can win it. And then I think Sacramento is going to be the team that loses first. I think they get a 9 spot and they fall, especially with those injuries.
And then, yeah, the other part of this is Houston had won a lot of games in a row. I forgot. I think 11 or something like that. They finally did lose this week, and they're 2 games back.
They're currently losing right now, I think, as I saw they were playing right now and they were losing to somebody. Down by 5 at Minnesota halfway through the third. So that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, a good run, but yeah, still at this point, I'd say unlikely.
It was fun. I mean, they definitely made it flirted with it, but yeah, probably not this year for Houston.
Yeah, I mean, their over-under was 31.5, and they've well surpassed that.
Yeah, so. Dobby's the only one that didn't believe. Yeah,
did not Andy believe and I did Fred believe. Van Vliet.
No, but Andy and I did. All right, so is that it for basketball?
Let me see. Do you have anything? Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, we're going to move on to some baseball. Opening weekend has happened. Every team's played around like 5-6 games at this point now. About roughly 5 or yeah, so, I mean, 4
Dodgers
or 5.
Have played 7 already.
Yeah, they don't count. But we got a 4 undefeated team so far, and I would say unlikely, like the teams you wouldn't have expected.
Is it still valid as of everybody wrote this down?
Oh yeah, that's right. We should take a peek at that.
Yes, because the Brewers won 3-2, so the Brewers are now moved to 4-0.
So the Brewers are 4-0. The Yankees, I believe, are 5-0, and they play tonight against the Diamondbacks. The Pittsburgh Pirates. Can we take a peek at them? Did they not play today? I guess they didn't play today. Which is odd. So we're just going to say the Pirates are 4-0 because I think that's what they are. We're going to find out for you guys right now. Okay, right there. 5-0. I'm sorry. I beg you my pardon, Pirates. So they're 5-0. And the Detroit Tigers 4-0, their game got postponed today, but they will play the Mets tomorrow on April 3rd. You know, crazy. And then some notable teams that have been off to a bad start. You can't start off worse than the Miami Marlins, who are 0-6, and it's 0-6 at home. They've now lost two in a row to the Angels, who have actually find themselves 3-2, which is kind of shocking. But before I jump ahead here, one more undefeated team, the New York Yankees. Oh, no, we talked about the Yankees just now. Yeah, we did. But I wanted to note about the Yankees. That's why I thought I forgot, was that they swept the Astros. Mm-hmm. And the notable thing about the Yankees, the Pirates, and the Brewers was, I don't know if you know this, Andy, all those teams that opening day weekend, they were all underdogs. They were underdogs every game, and they won every game. The Tigers, on the flip, were favorites every game against the White Sox, who people believe are going to be one of the worst teams in baseball this year.
Sell the team. Reinsdorf has spent too long.
Have the White Sox won a game yet, too, or are they one of those teams that's also winless?
They didn't score for the first. Oh, they won. Oh,
no, they have not won.
They're beating the Braves.
Wow, they're beating the Braves, but the Braves got two on with one out in the eighth, so that is impressive.
I believe they didn't score a run through the first two games. So.
Yeah, DeJong hit a home run today in the seventh, which probably a go-ahead bomb, but yeah, good for them. We'll see what happens. I always say, I have a good quote that says, bad teams find a way to lose. So expect them to blow that game, especially against arguably, you know, what a lot of people think could be the best team in baseball. Maybe right there with the Dodgers. So yeah, fun start so far. Yeah, we wanted to mention that, how the White Sox, Mets, and Marlins all have no wins. Dodgers, though, off to a 5-2 start. I know that's Andy's team, so I know he wanted to talk about that. It's nice to see my team. You know, I'm just by default, I like the Angels because I go to those games. I'm not a diehard Angels fan like I am with, like, you know, Steelers, Lakers, Liverpool, stuff like that. But I do enjoy going to games, and they're 3-2 now. But Andy, anything we want to? What do you want to say about the first seven games that your LA Dodgers have played?
Oh, about the Dodgers, Teoscar got four home runs.
He is, and I remember when we got him when you guys got
we
him
did, as a community, as a state, I guess.
What did I say? I said I liked that pickup. I said I think he'd be great batting around like five or six in that lineup. I was like, he was always a doubles machine in Toronto and stuff like that. He's a good hitter, and now getting in that lineup, he's in the bulk of it. He's getting opportunity. Another thing I want to know too is Mookie Betts, hot start. You know, definitely off to an MVP. Yeah, he's out of the gates for the MVP right now. Like, he is off to a chilling hot start.
Yeah, Bobby Miller had a great first start, so it'd be nice to have him have a great second season. And, you know, they're getting Walker Buehler back in a few weeks. It'll be nice to see it. He'll be something. I don't know if he'll be the same as he ever was. But
yeah, it's tough sometimes for those guys to be the same as they were. But yeah, good for the Dodgers, 5-2 start. And then, like we said, the Angels, 3-2. Mike Trout, three home runs, three RBIs through the first.
Yeah.
Which the reason we put that is because it means he has solo home runs. And the reason I'm glad Andy actually did that, because what the Angels lineup has been so far is every game so far in the five games they've played, Anthony Rendon has been the leadoff hitter. Anthony Rendon's average through five games, you ask, and he's played every game, four at-bats a game, at least zero. A zero batting average. And I saw a funny thing earlier, Andy, that said the last time Rendon got a hit, obviously he was hurt last year for majority of the year. Last time he got a hit, July 3rd, 2023. And they said, if you would have gotten pregnant on July 3rd, you could have been pregnant and then had your baby, because today marks exactly like 9 months since his last hit. So there's people out there that have gotten pregnant and had a baby since his last hit. And, but yeah, and then going into today, Aaron Hicks was also batting zero, but he went 2-for-4 today with a home run and an RBI, two RBIs, I beg your pardon. So he's now batting a whopping 143. And I actually was watching Mike Trout live yesterday when he hit his second home run that went 473 feet, just crushed it. But the young guy on the Angels, Logan Ohapi, the catcher, off to a hot start this year, batting 500, he goes 2-for-3 today.
And then, yeah, this guy, how do you say his name? He was their first
Nolan Schanell.
He came up in the same season he was drafted.
He's batting 200, maybe not good, ready. But yeah, maybe one home ready. Run, two RBIs. But he's on on-base machine, though, I know they said. Like, I guess in every single game he played last year, he got on base. So he's at least good with that. I mean, but yeah, it's Angels, it still looks ugly. When you look at this average, this team right now,
I feel like they have one star player, Mike Trout, and one good player in Taylor Ward, and then everyone else is just whatever. There. Yeah, like Aaron Hicks.
But young veteran, and you could sit there and say young potential with Ohapi and Schnall.
Neto was supposed to be good too, and he's still a good defensive player, but it's
No, it's a bad team.
That Tyler Anderson was good.
Yeah, and then Matt Moore has been incredible, honestly. He was good for them last year down the stretch. Like their bullpen was actually, before a lot of people got hurt, their bullpen was actually a very bright spot for them last year before injuries took place. So, you know, if everybody's healthy, that bullpen is, you know, give them the lead going into the sixth, and I mean, they could be trouble. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be our banter right now. It's a long season. You know, this ends in October. We'll have plenty of updates for you with that. But we're going to update you guys right now with some NHL standings because it is getting wild. We will start off in the East where the New York Rangers lead with 104 points. And right behind them, and then ahead of the other division is the Boston Bruins with 101 points. And then you've got the Carolina Hurricanes with 101 points, the Florida Panthers with 99 points, the Toronto Maple Leafs with 95. And then the next team in, even though there's a team that has more points than them, the Philadelphia Flyers with 83, because as we've mentioned before, the way it works now is there's two divisions on each conference. No matter what, the top three make it in each division, and then there's two wildcard spots. So even though the Flyers have 83 points, they're safe right now at the moment with being the three seed, but there's teams lurking because, right behind them is the number one wildcard team right now, Tampa Bay Lightning with 89 points. But then this is where it gets fun. You've got the Washington Capitals and the Detroit Red Wings, each with 82 points. The New York Islanders with 79, so they're only 3 points back. The Capitals and the Red Wings only have 6 games left. The Capitals have 8 games left, and the Islanders have 7 games left. So that's getting exciting. The Penguins have 7 games left, and they're only 5 points back, so they're technically in it. Same with the Devils being seven games left and only 6 points back, or 7 points back, I guess. No, 6 points back. So those are the teams that I guess, if you want to count the Sabres still with 7 points back, 6 games to go. Sorry, it's like tongue twisters here, but it's going to be a really exciting finish between Philadelphia, Washington, and Detroit, I think, and the Islanders, and maybe Pittsburgh and New Jersey make it interesting. I doubt it, but you never know. Actually, do we even see some scores right now? Do we have any like games going on right now that are in like the third or anything?
Capitals are losing. They're going to lose.
Yeah. Okay. Capitals are going to lose 6-2. So that helps, Detroit and stuff. I'm not sure if the,
no finals yet. Yeah. One final.
Well, six, but that's already factored in. So yeah, nothing. Or the Islanders are 1-1 right now against the Blackhawks at home. So that's a game they can't lose. You can't be losing to a team like Chicago at home. Because we'll get to the West right now and you'll see what we're talking about. But looks like the Red Wings didn't play today, so that helps. And I don't believe I see the Flyers on there either. So that's good, but it's gonna be a fun finish. And then we move on here to the West Coast, where you've got the Dallas Stars leading with 103 points. And then you've got Colorado and Vancouver with 100 points. Then you've got Winnipeg 96. Vegas at 90, and then the two wild card teams. They've got the Nashville Predators at 90, who have been electric the last month. And then the LA Kings at 87. The St. Louis Blues are 3 points behind the LA Kings with 84. And then the Minnesota Wild with 79, hanging on by a thread, sort of, being 8 points back. But it looks like it's going to be between the St. Louis Blues and the LA Kings for that final spot. The Kings have 7 games left. The Blues have 6 games left. And I believe I was looking at both their schedules yesterday, their remaining schedules, and pretty even. I think both teams have, I think the Kings have a pretty fairly easy schedule. They've got the Ducks twice, and they've got the San Jose Sharks. So those are games they need to win. But I will tell you that as being a resident of this Orange County area, the Ducks and Kings, it's always an exciting playoff game. And the Ducks would love nothing more than to make sure that their freeway rival doesn't get into the playoffs. So those could be a... those will be some competitive games. You better believe the Ducks won't be tanking for that. They'll want to spoil the party for them.
Now, on the flip side there, the three worst teams are in the West. Yeah. And it's the two bottom teams from last year as well, right? Ducks and Blackhawks were the top two draft picks last year, I think.
Yeah.
So they're going to be picking high again. The Sharks are the worst.
There might be a team in the – oh, no, you're right. There's the East is – the worst team in the East is 62 points, so the worst. And then, yeah, we've got the West is bad. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully for the Ducks, because I will say for anybody listening that's from the Orange County area, because we are an Orange County-based podcast, there's upside for the Ducks because they do actually have the number one, like, minor league farm system, whatever you want to call it. So and they've got young players. They've got some excitement. I mean, obviously 52 points is not a good season. You know, they're not going to get 60 points this year most likely. So, I mean, and they've currently lost five in a row, but it's okay to be losing right now. Let's have Chicago pass us. Who cares? You know, get a lower pick, but or a chance at a lower pick, I should say. But yeah, I mean, hopefully they get another top, maybe a top three pick, top four pick for sure. Hopefully top, or definitely top five, you would think, but hopefully top three. And obviously, I don't know who the top prospects are for the draft this year. Obviously, last year there was a lot of buzz because Bedard was the next big thing. He did have some injuries this year, but he's, you know, we'll see what happens in the future for Chicago. But going to be a good finish. You know, I think we can all guarantee that. And we will give you another update probably next week, because at that point we will be down to the last couple games. But before we do that, we're going to move on here to some college basketball. We've got the women's tournament that we're actually briefly going to talk about. We haven't talked about it yet, but it was an exciting last few games. Yesterday, you had you already had South Carolina and NC State move on to the Final Four. But yesterday had two pretty exciting games. You had Iowa versus LSU, which was a rematch of last year's finals, and it actually broke the record for the most viewed college women's game ever. And I actually saw some that showed it had more views yesterday than the NBA Finals game did, and I think one of the, like the MLB Finals too, or MLB, the World Series. So a lot of people tuned in, myself included. I'm guilty of watching about second through fourth quarter of it. And a good game. And obviously, you know, last year there was the drama where the Reese, right? Is that her name? Angel, yeah. Reese pointed at her finger to Caitlin Clark, basically showing that like, hey, I'm going to get the ring, you're not. And then, you know, talking that shit. But Caitlin Clark is just, she just plays her game. And she was tearing it up yesterday, hitting deep three. She's a great passer. And she tore it up. And Iowa, quite frankly, kicked their ass. The score is probably one of those things that maybe looks a little closer than it was. Iowa had full control of that game from like basically halfway through the third quarter on. And then you had USC play UConn. And USC's got, you know, a lot of say the best player in freshman Juju Watkins. And they played UConn, and UConn's just a powerhouse. You know, they're very familiar with the situation. And UConn came out, same thing. It was a close game, but UConn took care of business. Another score that probably was a little closer even than it was, because I know UConn was up by like 12 with like a minute left, and you know, they ended up winning by 7. But that game was tied at like 64 or something in the third quarter or something like that. So I mean, USC fought back, but
yeah, and I believe
lose the game.
The big story here is their best player was Beckers. She was like the best women's player a few years ago. She missed all of last season, so she was a bigger deal than Caitlin Clark when they were both freshmen, and now she's past her, but she's still very good and will be a top pick there in the WNBA.
Yeah.
Now, I have a crazy stat for you. This is a little bit of a spoiler when we talk about the men's bracket. So UConn women's team made the Final Four. Their men's team also made the Final Four.
Yes.
They're the first college basketball program.
They each won in the same year, right?
To do it in the same year since NC State did it in the year 2024. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. That is also a spoiler, yes. NC State is...
Yeah.
Still alive in the
men's.
You
expect UConn to do that. NC State is a total fucking wild card, though, how both of them made it.
Well, I remember a few years ago when UConn, when they won it, like, not last year, but the time before when they had Shabazz Napier when they beat Kentucky, mm-hmm. and it was like their women's won it that year, too, and it was like, oh, you know, they're the elite basketball campus right now. But, yeah, it's crazy right now with men. We'll move on to the men. Or actually, do you have any predictions here? What you think is going to happen? I'd like Iowa to win it all, I guess. I wouldn't mind. I would like to see Caitlin Clark do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I have not watched these before, but I watched last week's game with Iowa, and I watched yesterday the second half. Because I'm like, everyone has an opinion on this girl. It's maybe people have too many opinions, but I did want to see how she plays, and it is interesting. There's some things I really don't like. So her idol is Steph Curry, and I could see a little Steph Curry there with the.
She is like the female Steph Curry.
Yeah, arguing with refs. There was a play yesterday where it was a transition. Ball. It was a transition play, and the player was trying to get a the center in the post, but she was like wide open for three, and I think it was like maybe a kick ball or something like that, and she just yelled at her teammate, and I'm like, I kind of hate that shit. Like, she knows she's better. They're probably all living fear. Because they're like, well, she's
gotta get
way
better
than her. So she's screaming for the ball, and you don't pass it to her, and now you're like...
Angel Reese was doing the same thing. There was a point where But she's obviously a different type of game because she's tall. She's down low. But there was a part where they turn it over. Something happens and you see her clap and you see her mouth like, just give me the ball. And it's like, see, like, that's, I mean, I get it. You're the stars. You want it. But it's like, you know.
Yeah, I think
it's hard to win basketball games.
I think in the women's game, there's just the best players are more dominant relative to the other players. Because that's what's funny. It's like, okay, the women's game is getting better and better. I still see girls that can't, they can't hit threes without like using a crazy form. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like over the shoulder and shit like that. Like, so there's still some issues there. I mean, Caitlin Clark can hit from 40 and still shoot a normal form.
They said that the 3-point line in women's college basketball is like 22 feet, you know, however many inches. And that her average three is from 25 feet. And now that I say that, I don't know if you heard this, but the first game that was in Portland, did you hear what happened?
Yeah,
the 3-point line was off by 9 inches. 9 inches closer than it was supposed to be. So it's like, wow, somebody lost their job that day.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, can women tell 9 inches? I don't know.
Oh, boy, Andy. Oh, man. All righty. Didn't expect that in the sports podcast. But, well, I think it'll be good. I think I predict it'll be South Carolina versus Iowa. I don't know what I'm really basing that off of. I guess just the fact that I've seen Iowa play. But at least we'll get that matchup of Caitlin Clark and what's her name?
Beckers.
Yeah. So that'll be good. And then South Carolina is the one seed. I believe they were the overall number one seed in the season, I think.
Yeah, I think they only lost like one game all season.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good. But okay, well, moving on here now, we're going to move on to the men. Since we last saw you guys, or you last heard from us, I should say, we were in the Sweet 16. And yeah. Since then, I'll just say UConn has dominated.
Let's talk about each of the regions here. UConn, no challenge at all from any of these teams.
They haven't had one challenge all tournament.
So Illinois-Iowa State was a great Sweet 16 game. Illinois was up by 10. They kind of struggled in the second half. Their best player had foul trouble, but they outlasted them.
Now, that really was on Thursday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, really fun college game there. But then Illinois ran into a buzzsaw on Saturday. UConn had a 30-0 run at one point.
That's incredible. And
it's crazy that UConn... They have a couple guys. We talked about it before. They have a couple guys returned from the championship team last year, but they just kind of reloaded. They got this giant guy. I can't even blank on his name, but like, he's the only giant guy in the tournament left, other than some other giant guys. But
yeah,
just that they like, what a great job they did on reloading, and getting some like a senior guard from some small school, I believe. I already forgot everything about this team.
Yeah, I haven't really watched any UConn. I really don't know anything about
UConn. They just dominate. So. So, yeah, they won their region, and I think they're the clear favorite. In the West region, so that was here in L.A., another great, great college basketball game here, North Carolina-Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Back and forth, Alabama.
Probably the best game of the Sweet 16 onward.
So. Was able to close them out there. They had I think one of the themes of this is just transfers of 22-year-old white guys. They had a guy from, I think, North Dakota State transferred in.
Grayson, what's his name? Something Grayson or something. It's going to bug me because he's got like that dirty mustache.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up real quick.
But a lot of these teams have like a player like that, like Dalton Connect or
a
guy in Illinois.
Grant
Nelson, yeah. And these guys are just, they're never going to play in the NBA, or at least probably not. And they're still very good players, and you just kind of got to go find them. They played at a smaller school.
And he did. He played for North Dakota State, which North Dakota State was always one of those teams that...
They've made the tournament.
Yeah, they'd get into the tournament, and they'd be a team that was a Cinderella. They would upset a... You know, they'd be an 11 seed that would beat like a 4 in the first round or something like that.
I think you're thinking of Wichita State. North Dakota State was like a 15 seed when they've gotten in. They're great at football.
I feel like they've won before, though.
But the other one in that region, Arizona losing again. Just... I think Arizona's lost to a lower seed... like 8 consecutive years or something like that. It's like, it's insane that they can't do it. They get a good seed every year. They lose to Clemson this time, who was on a roll. They beat Baylor. So Clemson had a nice season here.
Okay, Andy. So,
no, wait.
What?
This isn't real.
You have the tournament history of North Dakota State?
I did for a second. Now it's gone. Ignore me.
All right. Well, anyways, stick with this. So in the regional final of the West, we got Alabama versus Clemson, which is, you know, a great college football matchup, you know, Tua Tagovailoa versus Deshaun Watson or something, but no.
Oh, never mind, I found it. I see what I'm looking at now. I'm sorry. So their tournament history, their biggest win ever was, and their only win ever, basically. So they've been in the tournament, they've played like a handful of games. So 2009, They were a 14 seed, lost to a 3 seed Kansas, only by 10, though. 2014 was their only big win. They played Oklahoma, and they were a 12 seed versus a 5 seed, and they beat them.
Oh, that's good.
Or actually, yeah, what? I don't know. They beat Oklahoma. And then they lost to only Gonzaga by only 10. They challenged Gonzaga in 2015 as a 15 versus 2. And then they won the first four matchup and then got blown out by Duke, a number one seed. So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I was thinking of college football.
Wichita State was the one that had a good run and then was like a number one seed that one year.
Yeah, that's kind of funny how it's like you do that. Like you're like – that was like Florida Gulf Coast getting to the Final Four and then being – or the Elite Eight. No, Final Four. And then being ranked this year where you're like, oh, no, that actually that team's actually pretty good.
Yeah. So, in the college football final, Alabama was able to win. Yeah.
To beat Clemson 89-82. No defense was played. A lot of touchdowns.
So yeah, that was a very fun game. I think what sucked about the Sweet 16 this year was a lot of the games were slogs, which is usually what we expect at a college. But we had some good ones, and this was a good Elite Eight game as well. So we can move over to the South Regional. And in this one, the story was the injury to Jamal Shedd. Getting hurt in the first half. Up by six, I think, when he leaves the game against Duke.
Oh, he never came back?
Never came back.
I didn't realize that.
It was a serious ankle injury.
He was in pain. I forgot about that because I was out. It was Friday night.
Yeah, so they...
Low-scoring game.
End up, losing a very, very rough game to watch.
I think that was pretty much... I'm not even kidding. I think that was like the score at halftime of the Alabama-Duke game. Yeah. I mean, Alabama-North Carolina game.
So Duke's able to win a close game there. And then... we had NC State Marquette, which Marquette was probably like, thank God we got a nice matchup. We're playing 11 seed here.
Yeah, the slipper fits though right now.
Yeah, it didn't work out. NC State handled them pretty easily. Like it, it was within single digits at points.
They felt like they were in control the whole time.
Yeah. Which then led to an all North Carolina regional final here. Duke NC State, which was a pretty good game. The score ended up being double digits. It was the worst last 2 minutes of a game I've ever seen.
I thought Duke was going to, when Duke got up by like 7 points in the first half, I was like, oh, this is what I'm afraid of. Duke's going to win this game by like 15 or 20. And not the case at all.
Yeah. Did you end up seeing the last 2 minutes of this game where there's a million fouls? I was so pissed.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I
like, stop trying. Like, you're down by 10. Stop trying. Like,
yeah, they just can't stop.
The college game is bad that way. But yeah, the story there, DJ Burns is his name. Big man.
So you know what's funny about that is
a starter. Like, I feel like he's been in and out.
I saw a funny thing that said that DJ Burns basically, I'll read it to you, but it was basically like, because, you know, then they go back to campus. They go back to like school for a couple days, I feel like, which is, you know, kind of bizarre. I mean, I guess not bizarre. You got to do your schooling. But this was a thing that I saw on the internet today by Whistle Sports. And it said... that I think it was Burns or somebody wrote to a teacher and said, "Yo, Dr. Bryant, I'm lit as fuck right now." This is how you know, just times have changed with schooling. "I'm lit as fuck right now, and I hope you are too, because a Final Four appearance is a lot to celebrate. How about we move this test to Tuesday or Wednesday?" And then Matthew Bryant responded, says at 8:39 p.m., which was about an hour after this guy's email, "James, this is possibly my favorite email of the year. You've convinced me." And it says, "Matthew Bryant, PhD. And then Matthew Bryant sends a mass email to the class. "Due to an overwhelming number of requests and some very well-stated arguments from your classmates, I've decided that Wednesday is a more suitable date for exam two. Therefore, we will delay exam two until Wednesday from like Monday. Thanks and go pack, Dr. B." And hey, I mean, that's the thing about sports. I mean, like, it's the place is electric. People are partying. I mean, the Final Four is a big deal. I mean, no matter what, at the end, they get to say they won their region. Like, they were their regional champs. And again, they had the only reason they could even get here was because they had to win their ACC tournament. And they were 100-1 odds just to win that because you had to go through teams like Duke, North Carolina, Clemson, Virginia.
Yeah, didn't they hit like a half-court shot against Virginia or something like that? Like,
yeah, I don't remember. I honestly, because I was in Vegas that weekend, so I was busy at the bachelor party.
Well,
so
that would have been on like Tuesday when the early
rounds. Yeah, well, too. Still, yeah. I was...
Yeah.
Wasn't paying attention to the ACC tournament.
No one pays attention to that Tuesday on the ACC tournament.
Oh, yeah, because you got all the 12s versus
you're,
like...
You're like, no one's going to win all these games in a row. And
Until they do.
They did.
So, yeah, we're set up for a good Final Four on Saturday.
Well, we got one more region to talk about.
Do we not?
Purdue dominated
the team that I have to win it.
Very impressive. Just too big of a man, that Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got to give him credit. He really improved his game. He took that personally, losing to that 16 seed.
Oh, no, he did.
May have just taken care of business.
And I'll tell you, and I've said it before, only one other time has a team lost to a 16 seed, and it was Virginia. And the following year, Virginia went on and they won it all. There is something personal about losing to the 16 seed because you hear it all year. If you bring back a lot of the guys that were on that team, they're hungry.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and we had Creighton, Tennessee, which was a solid game, and Tennessee looked as the best they've looked so far in the tournament. I mean, the Dalton connects the runner-up, basically, player of the year.
Who did he where did he transfer from?
Northern Colorado.
Jeez, it's crazy to think like how you can be recruited to a team like Northern Colorado, and then all of a sudden you go to a real team and you dominate there too, and it's like, oh, fuck, this guy's good. That's why there's a lot of those hidden talents they find out of the mid-majors.
Yeah.
You know, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, Ja Morant.
We're deprived of a lot of these guys, probably.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, like, what if we would have gotten to see Damian Lillard on, like, Duke?
14
Ja Morant on fucking...
Well, I remember, so after Steph broke out, Seth then transferred to Duke. Yeah. It's like, well, I'm a Curry, too. And it's like, hey.
I grew up in Carolina.
but, yeah, Tennessee ended up playing Purdue, and it was...
A good game, actually.
Yeah.
Tennessee was up by 11 in the first half, and Purdue ended, went on like a 15-2 run to end the half.
Yeah.
I was watching that game because I was invested in Purdue because I did a bracket and I do have Purdue to win it all.
Yeah, that game snuck up on me because
11 a.m. Yeah. The Easter.
Saturday games were on at 3 and 5 or something like that. And so then these games were on 11.
My cousin said the same thing, my cousin's husband, whatever. He was like, you know, why is that? And I'm like, well, think about it. It's the same thing in the NFL. On Saturday, you get those games at 1 o'clock and then 5 o'clock. And then on Sunday, they're at like 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. It's like there's just something about Sunday that people want it done earlier. It was also Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and the Clippers were playing at 3, so they needed to...
Lakers were playing at 3 also that day, I think.
Game's over with. No, the NBA did schedule like all their games after the Final Four, which was after the Sunday Elite Eight games. But yeah, that does leave us with a Final Four that's... I think we all are rooting. It's sad. You don't want to root for the favorites, but in this case, I do.
So it's funny you say that because a podcast that I listened to also, he said the same thing. He's like, I enjoy seeing, and I knew you would agree with this because I have heard you talk before, but he was basically saying like, it's fun to have these 11 seeds or like whatever. And he's like, but I don't like them to get too far. Cause he's like, at the end, he's like, I want to see. Cause he's like, if it's UConn versus NC State, he's like, I know how that's going to end.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a slaughter probably. But if we get Purdue UConn, which is what I think it's going to be, we're going to be in for a hell of a college basketball championship game, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think that's what we want to see. I mean, I know it was a bad game, but I'm remembering it was Anthony Davis that year. They ended up playing Kansas and Thomas Robinson, who was like the best player in college basketball that year.
He was fucking a grown man already.
It was one of those things where he was an upperclassman. Obviously, when's the last time you heard the name Thomas Robinson?
Yeah, Lakers probably.
the Kings were stupid to draft him, but
I mean,
it was he was no Anthony Davis, but. That game ended up not being good, but that was like the game we all wanted. Was like, oh, Kansas.
I don't even remember that. What year would that have been?
2012. It was Kentucky had Kid Gilchrist too, and it was really good.
Yeah, those Kentucky. I saw a thing about,
and then it was like a 20-point blowout. But
like Kentucky guards have all been drafted high in like the last decade.
Yeah, I mean Maxey, Quickly, Shea.
Yeah, Jamal Murray, Devin Booker.
Hero. It's a good run of guys.
Yeah, no, they've had a great run of guards. But yeah, I mean, in my humble opinion, I think. I saw UConn's opened up as like 11-point favorites against Alabama. I feel like Alabama, maybe it'll be just the first half, but I feel like Alabama can at least give them a game. I think UConn will probably run away with it at some point. But I truthfully think, and I'm not just being biased because I took Purdue to win a couple brackets that I did, but I think Purdue is going to beat up on NC State. I think they win that game by double digits. And the reason why is because Zach Edey's getting all the calls. And DJ Burns was getting into foul trouble a little bit against Duke. I think he's going to get into foul trouble against Edie. And I think – and Purdue wasn't even hitting their threes that well against Tennessee. So they say about Edie, like, you come in and you double-team him. He's a good passer. Fishes it out. Some of those guys hit their threes. NC State's not going to stand a chance. So, I mean, they're hot. They've been playing well. But I do think it ends against Purdue. And I think it ends convincingly against Purdue. I don't know what your – thoughts are on the matter, but
no, I think you're right. I mean, and it's not the thing with DJ Burns is he's like 6'8".
Yeah, and he's 7'8".
Yeah, it's just
and he's wide too. Edie's like he's lengthy. It's girth versus length in this one. So had a lot of more puns in this than I expected us to have, but here we are.
But I mean, that's the kind of guy that's like
this is what happens when Dobby leaves us unsupervised.
he's the one you remember forever, like that kind of tournament player.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was some rumors about like, well, maybe he'll play in the NFL.
Edie or the other guy?
Burns.
Yeah, I was going to say, not Edie.
Yeah. No, he's...
Is Edie even a NBA prospect?
He like, he left, declared last year and then undeclared. So he is good. Now,
that's what I like. He wanted to win.
Yeah, so he is, they're saying he could be a lottery pick this year, which, because it's a weaker draft. I don't know what kind of success he's...
Yeah,
he's Boban, maybe. I mean, we love Boban, but that's not like an NBA player. But.
No, he'll end up like I bet you he plays a couple years in the NBA, doesn't work out. He ends up being one of those guys that you're going to look at an overseas roster in like 6 years and be like, oh fuck, I remember that guy in Purdue.
Well, I mean, the other thing, he's Canadian, so he will be part of that crazy international team forever. Like, you have to put him on the roster just because he's such a matchup nightmare.
Yeah,
but you think he's going to be receiving passes from our sweet Canadian boys,
Shea Gilgeous, baby,
and Jamal Murray and Lou Dort, and
good team.
What's the asshole guy? Brooks, Dylan Brooks.
No, is he Canadian?
Yeah,
I feel like they're all Canadian.
He like talked trash Canadian. On Reeves in the World Cup or whatever.
Yeah. Who?
The World Cup they had this last
Reeves?
Summer
Austin with
Austin Reeves was on.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about like the soccer World Cup. I was like, who's Reeves? No, what is he? Yeah, it doesn't matter what he says.
Keanu Reeves is Canadian too.
Maybe he'll play.
Yeah, put him on the roster.
That's not a bad idea.
Where are we going? I think that's it.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's it. I mean, we're gonna obviously by the time you guys hear us next, we will be down to the finals. Because actually, no, there will be a champion. Mm-hmm. So next time you hear from us, there will be a champion as the Final Four is this this Saturday, April 6th, 3:09 p.m. Pacific is the first game, Purdue, NC State. And then 5:49 is the second game, Alabama, UConn, Pacific time, of course, as well. And then the championship is on Monday at, I believe, like around 6 o'clock, between 6, 6:30, something like that. So that'll be a fun one to watch. Yeah, it says it's in Glendale, Arizona this year, the Final Four in the championship. So good for that. But 6:20 p.m. is when it'll start, Pacific time. Should be a good – hopefully we get a good one. I think last year – I can't remember. Last year, UConn beat San Diego State pretty easily.
It was like a 10-point game the whole time. We kept being like, can you make a run?
Yeah, and I feel like they did at times, like cut it to like 4 or 5. Yeah, but you know, I mean, we're also just –
they were clearly better.
UConn was
better.
So, yeah, so we'll obviously have a champion by next time. So in college basketball, we'll be done. So we'll definitely update you guys on that. And then, you know, this gets to the time of the year where then thankfully NBA and NHL playoffs start. So we can have that entertainment. But then we start going up on like the kind of the slowest time of the year for sports.
We'll probably do. We'll update you on Anthony Rendon's batting average every week. Just very important.
Honestly, we probably really should. We should just have a segment dedicated to Anthony Rendon because I've got a group of buddies of mine from high school. And all we do is shit on him in the group chat all the time. Right now, I'm at a point where I'm embarrassed to share a name with him. Like, we have the same first name, and that is – it's honestly, it's embarrassing. But, yeah, we should do a little fun thing like that where we just continue a segment. So, right now, as of April 2nd as we're recording this, but you'll be listening April 3rd and whatnot, batting average is 0. He's played 5 games. He's played leadoff all 5 games. So, let's – I mean, he's got to have, you know, 20 at-bats by now. 20-plus at-bats, batting 0. Incredible. But we'll if we remember, we'll joke around and we'll update you guys. It's gonna be one of those things where have you ever seen the movie Summer Catch, where the guy that Matthew Lloyd has the really bad batting average, and then he finally gets on base with a bunt, and then all of a sudden his average just keeps climbing, and then he ends up batting like 3-something. Great flick if you guys out there haven't
never seen that one.
Oh, Summer Catch.
I've seen all the other Freddie.
Not a bad movies. One, Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah, and Jessica Biel. Yeah, great movie actually. That's that gets you in the spirit of summertime and baseball. So you should throw that on in like July or something, June. But that's gonna be it for us on this episode. Thanks for listening. This was episode 370 of the Tony's Take podcast. I'm Tony, and with me we had Off Road Andy.
Yes, thank you.
And like I said, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and be sure to check out our entertainment episode as well. Thank you.